You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Well, once again this morning, a disturbing, some would say, I think most would say, window is open once again on the Catholic Church. Our partner, The New York Times, is breaking another story. That window takes up much of the front page of the paper this morning. It's an inside look at the review process, which may show how the Pope handled accusations of sexual abuse when he was a cardinal. The story is this. A Wisconsin priest named Father Murphy molested as many as 200 deaf boys when he worked at a renowned school for deaf children from 1950 to 1974. Internal Vatican correspondence, our next guest reports, shows that church leaders, including the man who would become pope, may have deliberately downplayed abuse allegations and left hundreds of children vulnerable. Once again, Laurie Goodstein, national religion correspondent for a part in the New York Times, joins us. You have the byline on the story this morning. Laurie, this story, among other things, really opens and reveals the review process as it was conducted back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. How does it show what Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict, did or did not do?
Well, this is even the review process that is still used today. Bishops in their local diocese are supposed to do the initial investigation, but then if they think a case is serious enough that the priest should be disciplined or perhaps even removed from the priesthood, which the church considers a very serious step, it's not something they take lightly at all to laicize, to return a priest to the lay state. But if a bishop thinks it's that serious, then the case goes to the Vatican and goes to the office that was run by Pope Benedict before he became pope. That is still the office where these cases go to. Now, we've learned in recent days, because of interviews with people in that office that have been done by Italian papers, that only about 20% of those cases do they even put the pope, put the priest on, give him a full canonical trial. Now, realize these are the trials that are the internal church disciplinary process. They are not prosecutors. We're not talking about prosecution.
But the takeaway here is, because priests are so sort of loath to do this, the idea that this was a recommendation, that this man be defrocked, is very, very serious, right?
That's right. I mean, you had Archbishop Rembert Weakland, the former Archbishop of Milwaukee, recommending that the deaf community was so pained and so angry about this case that it would be the most healing thing the church could do to remove this man from the priesthood.
Wow. And according to the documents in your story, Laurie Goodstein, a social worker actually evaluated Murphy for about 3 days and said that by his testimony, he'd probably molested 200 boys, that he admitted it and he felt no remorse. So hold on there, Laurie, for a moment. I want to bring in Walter Robinson, who's now a professor at Northeastern University, but won the Boston Globe's Pulitzer when his investigative unit investigated sex abuse cases in Boston and elsewhere back in 2003. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning, John.
Try to help me to understand what goes on in a case like this where the review comes up the chain, and with this kind of evidence, there's a sense, well, you know, this guy's got a problem. Let's not make it worse. Let's cover it up. I mean, this isn't an endorsement of molestation, but it does feel like a kind of boys will be boys kind of tolerance.
Well, there's no evidence from my memory that the church, to include the Vatican, has taken these kind of allegations seriously enough. I mean, again, in to cite the recent Munich case, we have an instance where the church felt that, well, if a father repented for his sins, then it was all right to reassign him to another parish. When the Vatican has become involved, and there are still cases involving Boston priests which have not been resolved by the Vatican, molasses seems to get poured into the gears, and things take years. And today's extraordinary story in the Times demonstrates that.
Well, then suddenly the context for the way Pope Benedict has behaved since he became pope begins to shift. Laurie Goodstein, are we seeing a pope attempting to kind of rewrite history by behaving very, very differently than he did when he was a cardinal? Or is he trying to get redemption here? Does he understand the error of his ways? What's going on?
Well, when when he was elected Pope, one of the first things he said is we need to remove the filth from the priesthood. And I don't know why at that point he said that, but he for many years had been seeing these cases come across his desk, and there's no evidence that the office in the Vatican is working any faster now at doing that, but certainly they've gotten a wake-up call with these cases erupting now all over Europe that do appear very similar.
200 vulnerable deaf students at a school over a period of more than 20 years. Walter Robinson, what is to become of this community? I mean, what are they to take away from these revelations?
Which community, John?
The deaf community.
Well, I think they are feeling the same, they're having the same feelings as many other communities of abused victims have over the years. And that is relief that the issue is finally coming to the fore, but extraordinary disappointment at the slow pace of recognition of the seriousness of the issue by the individual diocese, the archbishop, the cardinal,
right,
and the Vatican. I mean, this is, for many of us, and I'm sure for Laurie as well, deja vu all over again.
And very painful for the community that was so vulnerable here. Laurie Goodstein, before we go, where does this go from here? We've already seen a very quick reaction by the Vatican to the situation in Ireland last week. Where does this go?
I don't know where it goes. I'm sorry. You know, one thing we know is once victims become aware and step forward, these cases don't stop coming forth. Many of them are old cases, but it stops soon.
And the documents that assisted you in preparing your story became public because of lawsuits. Are there more documents out there?
This is just one file among many. I mean, this is an extraordinary file at a very high level, but it is the work of lawsuits that that opens this up.
Laurie Goodstein, national religion correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Her byline is on the front page story. Also, our thanks to Walter Robinson, who's a Boston Globe reporter who won the Pulitzer for covering sexual abuse in the Catholic Church in 2003, now a professor at Northeastern University. Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.